It is Thursday, the 13th of November, and this is episode 229 of Digital Outbox. Buses this week. Sometimes you don't get one for ages, and now you got two in a row. Loads of news been happening, so we decided we'd come and break a podcast down into two chunks. I'm Chris in the host seat, and joined as ever by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Evening, Chris. And I was going to say in the horse, but then I thought, should I do in the house? And then I just feel
good. I'm glad that really worked well for you. How are you enjoying Halo at the moment?
Oh.
Loads of games, loads of multiplayer, yeah?
One
game, yeah. That's what I managed. Yeah, so I've played a bit of the single player, and we were talking last week, I say last week, it was earlier this week. We were talking earlier this week about whether they would get the menu system right and whether they'd get the fact that you didn't have to kind of completely come out of a game to go into another, and they have got that right. The system is very, very slick.
So there's bits of it I think are really slick, but then when we tried to get in as a group last night and you kind of bail out and it just seems to kick everybody out.
No saying what the real functionality is yet. I think it's just fundamentally broken. They're struggling, so.
Yeah, so and if you've not tried it and you're about to try it, basically you've got a long old wait to try and get in the game, like minutes, or you never get a game.
Yeah, there are rumours that is now being fixed gradually as we go along. They've released two patches in quick succession, so hopefully things will be better. We'll give it another go tonight and see what happens.
But thumbs up for the way it's all packaged. Yeah, the way they've done all the controls for each individual one, or you can set it a global one. And even you can see what maps are in each playlist, and just going through all the maps and the little graphics, it's like, oh my goodness.
They've got mission playlists which go across, they span all the generations. They've got multiplayer playlists that's spanning all. They've done it properly, which is good to see. I was playing Halo 1 like you do, go back to the beginning, and I was thinking, yeah, graphics have aged a bit. And then I pressed the button, which really put it back to the old graphics. And it's bonkers. Even the upgraded graphics, I don't know what they call it. Was it Millennium Edition or something like that? They're still what we're used to nowadays. We're just so spoiled.
No, it got me. I was on, I don't know if it was a Halo 1 or 2 map I was on. And I was running around. I was like, how do you sprint?
Yeah, I know.
And there's no sprint.
You can't sprint. Yeah, I know. And you just get so used to all those kind of new mechanics that come in, you know, double jumps and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And it was like, oh, I'm so exposed. You know, I was getting sniped.
Yeah, you can't run behind a bush.
Oh.
Yeah, you think the game's going to be easy, but it's, you know, it's not. It's not.
No, it's all good.
Anyway, so we'll report back once we've actually got some multiplayer games and see what that actually feels
January.
Like. but let's get on with the news that we've had, the whole reason for having this podcast. Let's start with Spotify and Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift removed all her music from Spotify, bemoaning the fact that Spotify don't pay their artists and you're never going to earn any money out of it. And it's just something that's failing. And Daniel Ek has responded saying, you're wrong. We pay out loads of money, and we've paid out $2 billion to artists, of which $1 billion was the sort of ramp up over from when they launched in 2008, and they have since given out another $1 billion just in the last year. So things are on a kind of massively exponential scale. And basically he's saying one of his key points was this is money that you would not have got via any other method than streaming through Spotify. You wouldn't have got it equivalent download sales or album sales from, you know, physical shops and things like that. And I think, although that's hard to prove, I agree with him.
I disagree.
You can.
I don't
do
disagree
that.
Entirely.
That's your prerogative.
Yeah, I don't disagree entirely. I just think that I don't think it can be as black and white and say, you know, you wouldn't have got this money if it wasn't for us. I do think some people have moved over from buying music to, you know, to just streaming music and paying for that monthly subscription. And I'm sure there are people that are listening to Taylor Swift, for example, that would never have bought her music or listened to it. But I don't think they could turn around and say, see that $2 billion? This is a new $2 billion that the music industry would never have had.
Fair enough. I take that point. But buying CDs was a dying art Yeah, it was a dying thing. Shops going out of business left, right, and centre because no one did it anymore. And sure, people ended up pirating. So Spotify offers you a way of actually monetizing something that was being pirated. And, you know, they weren't selling millions of albums except for around Christmas.
A bit. I mean, there was big digital stores like iTunes. So yes, you stopped buying CDs, but people were buying digital music and it had kind of taken over. But I think streaming's the future. I think this is probably, I mean, it's not Taylor Swift that's obviously having this argument, although she's kind of fronting it up. It's her label or just kind of saber rattling again and just saying, hold on, we can just pull all this and you're stuffed. I think streaming, maybe 5-10 years from now, streaming will just be the only thing. And I think things like digital downloads might be like vinyl, might be that niche.
Why would you want to download it? What's the point?
Because there'll still be some people that say, I want to own my music. I don't want to rely on having a connection. I don't want to rely on...
I was being rhetorical, connected. But that's fine. You can answer it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you're right. In the same way that people will still like a Blu-ray. I just think as networks become faster and faster, it just becomes less and less pointed to do that. And if the costs come down to a reasonable level, I think we'll see even the kind of Freeview level. We already get that with kind of like iPlayer and stuff like that. So you might even get old tracks and stuff that are available. Anyway, there you go. We'll see how that goes. YouTube have also, they've released sort of an early release of their kind of subscription service for their music on YouTube channel called YouTube Music Key. Do you think it's going to work?
I'm not sure. I mean, anecdotally, I see, folks with kids saying all my kids do is listen to music via YouTube. They don't actually stream anywhere. They just go on YouTube, Google for the video and set up a little playlist of their own.
So why then would they, because they've had this, an all-you-can-eat buffet so far and the labels have, got all the advertising revenue off that, why would they suddenly then want to pay what's going to amount to about $10 a month?
Yeah, and I mean, the thing they seem to be saying is adverts. So whether they're going to actually slap a lot more adverts across music videos and say, before you watch this or... you're going to have a 30-second. I mean, and this is what I think might happen, that they'll really start to go heavy on adverts to push people over. Only time will tell. So this has now come out on, so you've now got on Android and iOS and the web, you've got a new menu option.
Okay.
Within the YouTube app. And it's all about music videos and playlists and songs you've played before.
Obviously all this relies, where people are, they want to be able to listen to a whole album, right? At some point, that it depends if they actually, it's up to the labels what they upload, right?
Yeah, and I don't know, the reason I'm pausing is, I mean, I still listen to, I will listen to an album through, if you know what I mean, like start to finish, and I'll listen in order. Am I a dying breed?
I don't know either, but I will happily listen to an album still. But then again, I also listen to playlists. I quite extensively now listen to Spotify's new sort of discovery playlists and stuff like that, which is quite good. But that does then make me want to listen to the album. So I'm still of the opinion that albums are relevant.
Yeah, so am I. The only time I listen to playlists is still really when I'm exercising. When I tend to just be, working. I'll just pick an album and go.
So this is kind of in direct competition with something, with things like Spotify. The upgraded apps will allow you to play the sound in the background, while even if you're not watching the video kind of thing. So you can be doing other things and still the sound will play through even though the video is not there.
Yeah, the weird thing is they've still got this, now they're Google Play, which was called Google Play Music All Access, which was always a bit of a strange name, but that's still there as a subscription service. And I was actually tempted to sign up for that instead of Spotify, just because I find compared to iTunes Cloud, not iTunes Cloud, what is it called?
It is
iTunes.
Well, that's what something. I think of it anyway.
iTunes Match, that's what it is. So compared to that and paying my £20 a year to get all my music in the cloud, the Google one works so much better.
The web player is nice. It's really quick to get, to just grab your music, listen to it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. The only reason I didn't do it is because Spotify's there and I already pay for that as a subscription. And Spotify, my intermediate subscription is cheaper than going the full-on music all access. So.
Yeah, and it just seemed weird that they've got a YouTube Music key, which is a strange name compared to the kind of music hall access.
YouTube's
nonsense.
Always been a little bit of a kind of, it sits to one side of Google, doesn't it? It integrates fully with the advertising side of things, but it's still a kind of entity of its own right and own being. Yeah. So that's why it's doing different things. People also don't see YouTube as Google in the same way that they, many other services.
But I did wonder if they would just say, look, see if you subscribe to either, then you can bring the music app and get the music, and you can bring the YouTube app and get the music with video.
It makes sense unless they think they can actually make more money, by splitting it.
Well, it probably makes sense unless the music industry that says, hold on a minute.
Yep. Facebook has rolled out something called Privacy Basics. And basically, it's a kind of hand-holding guide that takes you through all the kind of privacy settings they've got, and it will run you through it and give you working examples of what actually each element of that privacy policy means. They're really trying to become good at this and really tell people what it is. Because I think there is a lot of misunderstanding around privacy, especially when Facebook's involved.
Yes, I've not tried it yet, but this can only be a good thing if they have simplified it without, removing, or hiding some options that used to be there. So as long as they've made it nice and clear to everybody, and you've still got the granular control if you want it. And they seem to also have added in a couple of things round about, ads, because you used to be able to turn ads off in certain things, but they would appear elsewhere, and they're saying that all now respects across the network, across different platforms like iOS and desktop and all that nonsense.
But you will begin to get more personalised ads, and they'll even include buy buttons inside of adverts now, so... it was always going to happen.
Yeah, and it's just that, I avoided putting in the Twitter story which says they're going to change your feed, because we know that's going to happen as well. And they had a big thing this week about how their mission statement, which is guff, but it is basically we're going to monetize our users. And know, if you're on a free network and you're not paying for it, you're going to get monetized somehow.
Yeah, it just depends whether that actually impacts the actual service that's being given and delivered. Or whether it fundamentally goes against some sort of, your own personal thing. Fact is, we're stuck with it. There's no replacement going to come in the short term. I know we say that about loads of big things, like, we said there was no, Microsoft was going to stay the massive firm, and they haven't. So I know things change, but just it won't be in the short term.
I have finally got my LO advert invite.
Okay. So you now get to try that out. Yeah.
No, I can't be asked.
There won't be anyone there. It's fine.
it's just one of these things. It was like, nah, my networks are Twitter and Facebook for once a week.
Yeah, and LO was the basic, it's that free and ethical social network, right?
Ethical apart from with taking a hold of the investor dollars, but don't worry.
We'll figure out how to get them back ethically.
Well, I think they were talking about if you want certain things in the future, we'll charge like one-off fees.
Microtransactions.
If you want to have bigger posts, pay us a pound.
Microsoft been big on announcements, and most of those announcements have been them giving stuff away or changing their model to be certainly have a free tier to it. Starting with they've released an unrestricted version of Visual Studio, which is available to non-enterprise and basically small teams. But you can use it as a small team. You can use it for commercial purposes, and it is fully extensible with all the plugins that you can kind of get with Visual Studio. And this comes hand in hand with them also open sourcing the .NET framework, which I'll come on to in a second. So I guess the advantage that something like a PHP stack has is that it's all free to end development use, which means that when you're a bit younger in your career, it's the only option because you don't have the money to spend on something big and beefy like a Visual Studio. So this is a great way. I mean, they've had a product Visual Studio Express, I think it was called, but that came with quite big limitations, and I don't think the uptake was massive on that.
I think it was behind as well. Was it not always slightly behind?
It definitely had a limited feature set. You couldn't extend it. Yeah. And it was they were good tools, and it was nice that they did them. But I just don't think you're right. I think they did trail behind slightly as well.
And it also doesn't, as you said, it doesn't stack up when you can jump on and download, like a LAMP. So you've got your Apache and PHP, and you can download anything that, that's out there and just go and play.
And that's where you kind of get embedded into a system, because once you've learned a language and all fully, it's, there's not many people that really want to keep switching all the time, because you lose all the productivity that you gain. But as I said, mentioned earlier, they've also open sourced the .NET framework. So whereas before that was, you know, pretty much exclusively Microsoft product, they've now said they're going to bring that network to Mac and also Linux. So pretty much, you know, any server you want to run on .NET framework will now work. Which is a big move. And again, I think it kind of highlights the fact that Unix servers are just the de facto norm, and you have to have a budget and a, you know, you have to have money to be able to run a Microsoft server, and quite a lot as well, because it's quite expensive to run a Microsoft server with all the licensing involved. So this now means that that .NET framework and all the kind of rich support that comes along with that is now available to everyone.
I mean, and it's just, it's the first line that gets me in an article I've copied in. You know, it's 12 years .NET's been around, and they're only just doing this now. So it just shows you talked on Monday. Mm. It's about how Microsoft's changing. This is just, to me, another example.
Yeah, and why not? Because I've not extensively used the .NET framework. I know it's very, very broad in what it offers, but from a web programming point of view, I've not extensively used it. I have used it. But when it was, you know, initially released, it was nice in that it offered you all these kind of objects that it would do your it would do all your logins for you, it'd do this, that, the other, do it in a secure way with limited programming. You don't need to do much to do it. And I know that it's obviously enhanced and expanded beyond that since, and there's some really nice you know, quick ways of implementing common features, basically.
And also, just the fact that you can now, you know, develop something in .NET and you can hit a Mac with it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know a lot of people probably sitting there going chuckle, you know, it's not going to happen, but you know, even in enterprise there's more chance of it now supporting, you know, all this bring your own device type thing, you know. And it's
one thing Microsoft have always been good at, is supporting developers and giving developers tools. They could never be criticized for that, and that's one of the reasons the original Xbox was so successful, was because of the suite of tools and development objects that they had across not just the Xbox, but across all the PC side of things as well. So it was easy to port from PC back down to Xbox. It just meant that's why the Xbox won the war, because it was easy to program for. And the PlayStation at the time had no tools. You had to develop your own.
And in some ways, they probably had to do that, you know, just to stand up against, you know Sony and Nintendo. How do you get a games library very quickly? PC.
Yep.
You know, so it was a fairly smart move.
It was very good. Microsoft also are binning the Nokia name now, basically. So with their latest Lumia phone, it's now just a Lumia. It's Microsoft Lumia rather than Nokia Lumia. So it's the end, the final long dying end of the Nokia brand, basically. Which is sad for some people. There's a lot of fond memories of Snake.
And I think they're still going to keep Nokia for their non-smartphones.
Right, okay.
But it is dying.
It's being sidelined, basically. So it's,
yeah.
I guess there's still the tail end of the good feeling towards it, which Microsoft are probably going to wipe out. So yeah, apparently the this first phone that they've kind of knocked on the head with the Lumia is a kind of middle of the road phone. It's nothing special. It doesn't really make sense why they've chosen this one to sort of launch themselves as non-lock.
That was a weird thing. You'd have thought they would have come out with a flagship.
The flagship, all kicking, you know, screaming phone that.
Yeah, but it's almost like they've just said, like, now's the right time. Whatever is the next phone, that's when we're going to start from. Just go. But then why not 6 months ago? Maybe there's some legal things in there that they've had to wait.
There's all sorts of due diligence and agreements that has to happen, you know.
I'd love to see in Finland if there's like an anti-Microsoft campaign now. You know, do they just absolutely hate Microsoft? You know, so they don't sell any Xbox Ones. They don't sell, you know, anything to do with Microsoft.
It kind of takes away that whole, what does your country do? Well, we're the biggest mobile phone manufacturer in the world.
Well, was it now, not something it? like they had 90-something% of the market in Finland, and nobody would buy like a Sony Ericsson, and nobody would buy anything else, and nobody was buying iPhones right at the start. It was just all Nokia.
Yep.
And they had over 100% penetration because people had like two and three.
Yeah. I mean, they get it. Just things change. Things change all the time, don't they? It's amazing. And over scales that previously was just unheard of.
Mm.
the UK Telecoms Watchdog has, Ofcom has come out and ranked the 4G providers on the basis of speed.
I'm glad you said ranked.
They've pretty much given EE and O2 a happy ending, with Little 3 trailing along behind a slower, slightly slower speed. Basically, O2 and EE and O2 are basically offering up pretty much full speed 4G, as much as can be expected, and pretty reliably. Which is not surprising, seeing as there were different bands on offer when they sold up the 4G network, and 3 took the slightly sort of more backward but cheaper option. But the fact that when they've always said their network is set up for data, and that shows apparently in download time, so actually page display times and things like that, ping and all that kind of nice stuff is much faster on the 3 network.
Yeah, and that was page load. So that they've got this start around page loads, and they've said it's best on 3, despite all these fantastic speed tests on, you know, EE and O2. So plucky little 3,
yeah,
still kicking away.
There you go. And it's all ridiculously fast anyway. And like I say, better to have.
Are you on 4G?
No.
I must have. I've only been on 4G. Oh, a year, 6 months, 8 months. Although, bizarrely, I just had a call before we started tonight just saying you're one of our most loyal customers. And I was like, you're a liar.
Yeah, too high.
Absolute liar. And we can save you lots of money. Well, just do
it
then.
Yeah, please. Thank you very much.
But what you're wanting to do is sign me up to a new 12 months, because I must be coming up to my end of 12
months. Yeah, I've had enough calls from the EE phone number to know that I must be another 12 months into something or other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
GIFGAF are also offering 4G now. It's taken them about a year to get up to speed with it. Basically, GIFGAF are no frills. They tie into the O2 network. And basically, up till now, they haven't been offering 4G. And now they are starting at £12 a month. But that only gives you a gig. And their price is going up from there, basically. But their best thing, you know, GIFGAF, you often use that for unlocked phones where you just want a nice ongoing contract where you've got no big ties in. And it's been very popular, but 4G is a great string in their bow then.
And 18 minutes, £12 for, as you say, it's only a gig, but it's £18 for 5 gig, which is actually really good.
It's still not good, but it's in the mobile world, it's considered good.
Yeah, I mean that's a really good deal for 4G.
Yes.
So I might mention that to EE when they phone me back tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
But I see GIFGAF and in your recent report, EE and O2 offer the fastest downloads because GIFGAF is on O2.
Yeah, you still have to go with whatever gives you your connectivity in your area, right? That's the biggest factor in mobile phone choice. If you don't take that into account, you're a bit of a fool.
I'm a fool.
You're a fool. Samsung has said that they're going to start selling their Gear VR virtual reality stuff in. When are they selling them? Sorry, I think
December.
December, and they are introducing a technology, the basically real time 3D camera video feeds. So you will be able to go and experience festivals and events like you were there by having these kind of 3D camera experiences.
Interesting. I don't know if I'd buy one because I don't have a Samsung phone, and B, it's Samsung.
So Bomb Dogs, a friend of the show, Paul, was very excited about 3D kind of being there in events. So imagining watching, I guess he was imagining watching his football matches and whatever from inside the stadium, and really, and I have to say, when, you know, the biggest thing, the striking thing about putting on a virtual reality headset is the sense of scale that you get immediately, whereas everything feels small on a TV. Everything feels very big when you get into these things. So I'm still unsure about whether that actually really does offer you, an exciting proposition. But, you know, I guess a lot of people are considering it to be quite an exciting thing.
Yeah, and I don't know what's going to drive adoption. I mean, I think gamers are obviously going to pick up, you know, these headsets. But what takes it to, you know, what is going to turn it into? Remember, like the World Cup made everybody buy HD. So was it the France France 96, was it? France 98? Can't remember. Whatever. Whenever there was a whole kind of like, well, everybody has to buy a, you know, BBC were going to do World Cup games in HD, and it was like, yes, yeah. Xbox 360 just come out. Yes, let's all buy HD TVs. What's going to drive it? And it is going to be, it's going to have to be something like, you know, these 360 degrees, you know, immersive video, you know, you can be at this event even though you're at home.
Yeah, and it has, once they really start, once they get to the third generation of these things, it is going to be at that point where I think, you know, as a family tool, if you like, it's going to be quite exciting to have a virtual reality headset in the house. I can see this more, this is far more exciting than a 3D TV for me.
Absolutely. The 3D TV, just I just didn't get it. I just did not want to put on another set of glasses to watch TV.
Yeah.
But this, I don't know if I'd watch a movie through it, because I know they're talking about, I know, I think there's, like, there was some stuff last week that people were doing specific small, short movies for the Oculus and trying to put content together alongside game, because they know games are a given. You know, people are going to want to play games with an Oculus Rift. But they're wanting the other people. What else? You know, is it you know, fantastic music videos? Is it these short? You know, is it a documentary? Is it a, you know, one of these nature things where they can take you?
You can imagine it, can't you? Yeah, you can anywhere. Imagine it being. Yeah. The only problem with these kind of films and fixed location sort of things is the illusion's all about having your own. It's your own freedom to move around, basically. And as soon as it doesn't
path, won't it?
Well, yeah, and even that's not so bad. But you do need to be able to move your head and even have sort of slight up and down movement for the illusion to really, really work. Just having a kind of 3D ball that you can look around is not quite. It's not the same.
No,
because
but then it's. I guess I was thinking of things like, you know, are you going to get, you know, explore the oceans? You know, so they'll strap one of these fantastic cameras onto a little sub and go down and film. You know, somewhere it's, fantastic.
It's not going to be long before game technology, 3D technology like that, is actually good enough to feel real, especially in an environment where you've got the illusion of that as well. So you won't even need to be real footage, or, you know, a lot of the things you see aren't real.
There's always that extra element at the moment, even though things are getting closer, you know, so it's like, what if they did, like Ride with the Red Arrows, you know, they film a 30-minute Red Arrows display from the guy's, you know, head, and that's your head.
Yeah, no,
you know,
okay,
a headset
yeah.
on.
No, like, you know, totally. And that is very, very much more exciting than just watching a film in 3D, basically. For me, it is, anyway.
Yes, because I watched Interstellar last week. It wasn't 3D, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I think I loved it more because the 3D films I've watched recently, I'm starting to not notice it as much.
Yeah.
This feels all a bit, that's a gimmick now.
Yeah. And it is a gimmick unless they find a good use for it, basically.
Yes.
Amazon. I'm skipping a story here. So let's go to Chromecast, which they've gone in an interesting direction here. I quite like it. They have released games for Chromecast, basically. So it allows you to turn your TV into a kind of board game. So everyone on their devices in the living room can be playing a game of Monopoly. It could be playing a game of, you know, Family Fortune, whatever. There's loads of things that they're kind of rolling out now, and it seems like a really nice nice way of using a Chromecast.
Absolutely. There was a couple of, I'm trying to remember what it was. Was it Scrabble, I think, did something early on when the iPad came out, where the iPad could act as the table and your iPhone acted as a tile rack.
Yep.
And I can see this working, you know, in a really similar way. And at the time, everybody joked it was like £1,000 game of Scrabble, because you had to buy the iPad and you had to buy your four, you know, iOS devices. But
Chromecast works now across all devices, and everyone who's anyone has a device now, right? Even my mum.
I as you say, I just think it's an interesting direction, and I think it points to why I'm still surprised Apple never did anything more with Apple TV right now. You know, it's almost like it just feels such a no-brainer, but they're not doing it. So clearly they have a reason that they're not doing it right now. But it just makes perfect sense, you know, nice interactive board on the screen. And I think everybody's got a device. Everybody's got a tablet or a phone, which is either Android or iOS.
It just makes, again, that I can see that as a family, you know, a family thing. It makes it nice to be able to play board games without having to get board games out with all the mess and all that kind of stuff. And it's all controlled. No one can ruin the fun.
and I guess the point I'm making is, like, I mean, if I've popped around to your house, I will have my phone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I just connect up, go. You know, I don't need to worry about the, oh, such and such hasn't got it, unless there's like the one person out of 10,000 that's got a Windows phone. And it's like, well, bless. But then us geeks have got so many other tablets.
Just hand one over
that
here.
We can,
that's right, yeah.
We can
use my iPad.
Covered.
Yeah. Amazon are still persevering with their drones. They're still saying that they're going to go and do this thing. This was the Amazon's Prime Air, which is their concept to deliver packages, small packages, via drone. They are actively seeking experts in the area to make it happen.
And this is in the UK, so this is in Cambridge. So previously in America, they all got kind of kicked out, and then they filmed the videos in Mexico, and they were, I think they're doing, was it Australia? They're doing some tests as well.
Because it
as
made
DHL.
Sense in the outback.
Yes. But they're now doing it in Cambridge.
Yeah. So yeah, us. America kicked you out, but we're going to chop little heads, kids' heads off with drones in this country. Be good.
So they're looking for engineers, software developers, scientists, and pilots.
They're making this happen. It's amazing. You know, we're going to live in that world that, you know, just with all the things buzzing around. Say,
oh, there was a new drone released today. I so want.
Is it a commercial one, or is it a...
It's from DJI. So the same company did like DJI Phantom. This is called Inspire 1.
Okay.
And but it is like $2,500. Yeah. So it is a kind of next step up. But it's amazing. It's gorgeous.
You're into your drones.
Oh, I just, there's a niche there that it's going to happen.
Yep. Anyway, we'll see. Everyone keeps saying this is a bit of a joke by Amazon, but they're persevering. You know, a bit like Google's self-drive cars were a bit of a joke to start with, but they actually ended up, you know.
Yeah, and I don't think it is, because your DHLs and UPSs have all come out and said we're doing the same.
Yeah. So yeah, I still don't see how it works. Out of the context, the only one that I could see working was that Outback one, where you don't have to send then a helicopter delivering packages out. But drones obviously have limited capabilities as far as distance goes, so even that I don't really understand that much.
What they said was it's up to what they're basically, and I guess this is what their requirements are, this is what they're limiting themselves to, it's up to 2.3 kilograms to customers within a 30 minutes of an order being placed. And I guess there must be a radius.
Yeah, it has to be a radius,
That the battery life will last, you know, I don't know, 20 minutes, and we can cover this distance, you know, safely and land safely and then disappear.
And it will last as long as it takes to have the first accident. And then that'll be it. It'll be regulated and chopped. There you go. There's my future world.
Did you use the word chopped deliberately?
Well, no, but it was good, wasn't it?
You know, like little Johnny has his head chopped off. That's when we decide it's not safe.
When little Johnny's head rolls down the pavement. That is the end of our intermediate podcast. So if you've got anything you want to talk to us about, you can do email at info@digitaloutbox.com. And you can also talk to us through Twitter and Skype on Digital Outbox. You can find out all about us, what we do, at digitaloutbox.com. If you want to follow me, you can, CheesyUK on Twitter. And academyracer.co.uk is my racing blog. And I've put all the kind of season review up there, all the videos from the year and things like that. So if you haven't got up to date with that, you can go and see what my year was all about. I have just registered for next year, so got all my dates sorted. So that'll be all going up soon.
Fantastic.
Good stuff.
I'm on indie.net. I've not posted in ages. So no shock there. And my blog is... Oh, no, it is my blog. I'm on Twitter as Shreeper.
So yeah, there's my blog. Don't bother going. It's just, why would you?
Well, we talked about this the other day. I've got
stuff. Like,
my draft post outnumber the actual posts. So
press that button. Be confident. That's the end of the podcast. So thanks very much for listening again this week. And we will talk to you next week. News will drop off. So it'll probably be one of the last ones next week. If it depends how things go. Maybe the week after. In fact, am I jumping the gun a bit there? How long do you think news will go on for?
So I'm thinking next week. And then we'll probably take a break for 2 or maybe even 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then we'll do one more.
One just before Christmas and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
And that's us until after CES.
Yes, because that's our kick back into life, is hundreds of mobile phone announcements.
So, and it's like tablet. And a good tablet.
Bendy TV, tablet, yeah.
Oh, that's right. I wonder if it's all going to be drones this year.
Could be drones, could be. It's going to be virtual reality headsets, isn't it? Because that's really gearing up now. It's
we've got to be. Samsung will get
Oculus. Oculus will have a pretty much final version.
Next year, surely, is Oculus plus the Sony one.
Got to be.
I loved Oculus putting out the threat saying Sony, or we don't want people releasing crap headsets to ruin the market. Sony.
Because they spent a long time doing it. Anyway, let's not get too bogged down on that. Let's wait till CES. We have plenty of time in the new year to do that. Speak to you next week. So goodbye.
Goodbye.
Shake it off, shake it off.